Jason himself always seemed to have a bright kindergarten quality about him, and a boundless optimism. Certainly, you had to be optimistic if you planned to operate on Harry Benson. The unit was quiet now, most of the staff gone home for the night. She walked down the corridor past the colored doors with the stenciled labels. Sonoencephalography, cortical function, EEG, RAS scoring, parietal T, and at the far end of the hall, telecomp. The work done behind those doors was as complex as the labels, and this was just the patient care wing, what McPherson called applications. Applications was ordinary compared to development, the research wing, with its chemitrodes and compsims and ELAD scenarios, to say nothing of the big projects, like George and Martha, or Form Q. Development was 10 years ahead of applications, and applications was very, very advanced. A year ago, McPherson had asked her to take a group of newspaper science reporters through the NPS. He chose her, he said, because she was such a piece of ass. It was funny to hear him say that, and shocking in a way. He was usually so courtly and fatherly. But her shock was minor compared to the shock the reporters felt. She had planned to show them both applications and development, but after the reporters had seen applications, they were so agitated, so clearly overloaded, that she cut the tour short. She worried a lot about it afterward. The reporters hadn't been naive and they hadn't been inexperienced. They were people who shuttled from one scientific arena to another all their lives, yet they were rendered speechless by the implications of the work she had shown them. She herself had lost that insight, that perspective. She had been working in the NPS for 3 years, and she had gradually become accustomed to the things done there. The conjunction of men and machines, human brains, and electronic brains was no longer bizarre and provocative. It was just a way to take steps forward and get things done. On the other hand, she opposed the Stage 3 operation on Benson. She had opposed it from the start. She thought Benson was the wrong human subject, and she had just one last chance to prove it. At the end of the corridor, she paused by the door to telecomp, listening to the quiet hiss of the printout units. She heard voices inside and opened the door. Telecomp was really the heart of the neuropsychiatric research unit. It was a large room filled with electronic equipment. The walls and ceilings were soundproofed, a vestige of earlier days when the readout consoles were clattering teletypes. Now they used either silent CRTs, cathode ray tubes, or a printout machine that sprayed the letters with a nozzle rather than typed them mechanically. The hiss of the sprayer was the loudest sound in the room. McPherson had insisted on the change to quieter units because he felt the clattering disturbed patients who came to the NPS for treatment. Gerhard was there, and his assistant Richards. The Wizard Twins, they were called. Gerhard was only 24, and Richards even younger. They were the least